Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mother's Day. It's coming up Sunday, May 12th. You can't go wrong with flowers. From youflowers.com. They have a fantastic deal for you right now. Our listeners, go to fromyouflowers.com/Adam. Dozen mixed roses, just $19.99. Or you really want to make an impression? Upgrade to the two mixed dozen roses, plus a free vase, just $10 more. That's $29.99 for 24 roses and a free vase. Guaranteed freshness and on-time Mother's Day delivery. Mom loves it, and it's easy to check off that box. J.D. Power's awarded its highest customer satisfaction for online flower retailers in 2019. Not too shabby. From You Flowers. Order today. Supplies are limited, and they will sell out. That's fromyouflowers.com/Adam. Get that special deal.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
The only thing handshakes accomplish is the enabling of epidemics and cold viruses.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That's little Santino Carolla, and Rob Schneider's in studio.
Yeah.
We love Rob Schneider. This half of the show brought to you by youflowers.com/Adam, JB Weld, World's Strongest Mon, betonline.ag, enter podcast one, and geico.com. Rob is here. We have much to talk about with Rob. Rob was telling me off the air he's got a Stallone Cobra story.
I saw the poster out there in the back in the hallway, and what happened was, you know, this is true. Like, Stallone would literally punch me every morning when he saw me, and I wouldn't punch. He punched me in the shoulder. That pretty man. I know he's holding back a little bit.
Was that Judge Dredd?
Yeah, Judge Dredd.
Stallone. The couple of times I met Stallone, he's punching his own fist.
He
takes one palm open and one fist, and he's like punching it the whole time.
He gets the blood flow. I don't know what's going on, but he used to punch me. And then I realized, you know, by how hard he punched me and where he punched me, that's where we'd figure out what we're shooting that day. Oh, he punched me. Okay, we're shooting. He punched me in the arm, but pretty hard. Okay, we were shooting that thing. We'd go up the the futuristic elevator. But what happened there was he used to punch his bodyguard bodyguard assistant, whatever his name was. It's this Goomba-looking guy, and I mean that in the most positive ways you can imagine.
It was his brother.
So they would punch each other as hard as they could, and then one time the guy about to get punched pulled back a little bit, and then Sly punched him in the elbow and broke his hand. right before they were shooting Cobra. So literally, he had a broken hand for the whole movie. And so that's why,
I just put a glove on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, is that why he put the glove on?
And that's why the glove.
He had the glove. He wore the aviator glasses indoors. He always had a match, but he never lit it. He didn't smoke. He had the match hanging out of his mouth, the wooden match. And he...
Because it looked cool. Why wouldn't you wear it?
He would cut his cold pizza with scissors.
Yeah.
Was it his pizza cutting hand? That's
and,
pretty bad.
And also, he'd do that thing that I love in all 80s movies that I never question TV shows and movies. The cop that was on the beat of the Night Stalker killer, when he'd go into his apartment and sit down and turn the TV on, they'd go, and the Night Stalker killer. It's like, they didn't even finish a local automotive commercial. It wasn't like 8 seconds of, oh, and back to you from the pumpkin patch. In other news, they didn't do that. They would just start right on the Night Stalker killers back again. And it's
I knew it. They're going to get this guy. It's everywhere.
Why, they may not have been watching the news the last time they watched TV.
You know you're watching way too much TV and movies when you notice that kind of...
I notice it every single time.
That's
yes.
the thing. Like, when you're a little kid, every movie's great. Oh. I remember like the first time I heard that somebody didn't like a movie, I was like, what do you mean? Honestly, it's like a junior high. You mean you didn't like a movie? But what didn't you like? It was a movie. What's not to like about it? Because I remember we used to sneak in. Remember there was when they first started the multiplexes? There was six. Remember? That was like huge.
Oh, yeah. It's
six, yeah.
Six screens in one.
AMC six.
Saramonte six. It was just like a dream.
Saramonte.
My parents would literally, because I was the youngest kid, they'd drop us off and just like come pick us up in 5 hours. You try to sneak into every movie, right?
Right. Yeah, oh yeah, that was the big deal, and it didn't even matter if you'd missed the first 40 minutes of it. It's like I was
you were
free.
Watching a movie, you're happy, and I just remember the first time I heard somebody being critical about a movie. I think Ed McCarroll went to high school with me, and he said, "I don't know if I like that." I said, "What do you mean you don't like it?
You got to go to a movie.
It's a movie. I think it's like It's Alive or something. I just didn't feel that was scary. What are you talking about? It's Alive. It's like a baby. Was It's Alive like the baby and the wheel in the like the little?
It's Alive was like the demon seed baby.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I think the
great poster,
the
right?
poster was like the
a cradle,
the bassinet, with the wheels on it, and like the hand,
a
like
big,
the green hand,
like
the
devil's hand or something.
Yeah.
That make you go see it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, that or titties, even drawn titties, like literally drawn titties, like a pinball machine, and you're in. Yep.
That's the difference in the era now is that, like, back then, you had to have one titty scene to be in your movie, and that was like a given. You had there it is.
You needed one titty scene.
Yeah, that poster is genius. By the way, that poster made so much money because the poster is way better than the movie. But the
the title's better. Everything's better. At this point, once you saw the poster and once you heard the title, the rest was sort of superfluous. Like, if the movie's good, doesn't really matter because we got to see the poster and we heard the title. I went and saw a movie. Here are the movies you're going to have to run down. Everyone think about their movies. Yeah. Maxipata, get ready.
All right.
Get the steno pad out.
I got one.
I saw one called It was the story of a Space Saver spare that had lost its... it was a person turning into a snake.
Wow.
It was a guy that turned into... Now, of course, they had no budget, no CGI, no special effects, no anything. So everything was horrible. Of course, like It's Alive was.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing about...
It was called...
Well, Harvey Picar had a great joke. He wrote American Splendor, the comic book, and he said, Jeff Goldblum turning into a fly, that's not a horror film. A horror film is a fly turning into Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
That's your horror film. That was Harvey Picar.
There was that movie. We got to figure out the years, too. I saw...
This was 73.
I saw... Now, also, you had no... Oh. You knew nothing about these movies. There was a movie called, like,
it just used to get they would what they do is 1,000 theaters, they would blanket it, and they just like it was like Sun Films or something.
Oh, Sun Classics International presents In Search of Historic
these...
Moses, and it was like Leonard Nimoy narrates.
Exactly,
they do these horrible things where they go,
and then
they
take the money, and they wouldn't need a second weekend.
You got to look up Sun Classics International. They do this thing where they'd go like Leonard Nimoy, Chariots of the Gods.
Oh yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah. So what they do?
That was actually a good one. They spent money on that.
They'd go like. They say that Noah's Ark was made of birch wood. on Mount Holy Pine, they found a piece of weathered birchwood. There are no birchwood trees within 100 miles of the town. You're like, oh, well, that means there was an ark. There had to be an ark.
Yeah, right.
There's definitely an ark. Well, that's also, all they'd come up
there
with.
Was a world, no, there was also, no, there was a World War One. You know, there was a soldier returning back from Russia. I don't think Russia was in World War One. But anyway, he was returning back from then, and he drove through, and they interviewed him. Well, I was going back through. Why does he have a German accent? Well, I was going through back, and then out of the window of the train, I saw this big boat in the middle of the mountain. And that's the proof.
Right, that's it. Yeah, that means there's an ark there. Yeah. Well, because there's a lightning strike in a mountain, there must be a huge arc buried.
Sound.
They would never get to the bottom of anything. Then they'd do these things like, were there aliens? We see these cave drawings. The cave drawings would just be like a circle with an animal in it. It's like, could they be spheres that traveled,
orbs?
That brought the orbs, and magical orbs? Or, I don't know, maybe the guy was high on birch bark and he just drove.
How could these people have known there would be orbs
circle
in the future?
Yes, and they would try to, they'd also take like, one guy just drew a stick, but it was going in the air, and then they put Apollo 11 and they juxtapose it. Could it be Apollo? Did they predict?
There's a Mayan guy sitting slightly reclining on a chair. This is the takeoff position.
That's right.
Of a spaceship.
Do you have a trailer for Chariots of the Gods or any In Search Of? Mm-hmm. Because they had In Search Of Historic Jesus, like In Search Of Moses, or Leonard Nimoy hosted a TV show.
In Search Of, 1975.
Yeah, had a great theme.
And it was also, it was 20, it was a half hour. So it was just enough to open up the door to some kind of story, and then that was it. But I loved that show, because I was 12 and I bought into it. You know?
I got Aloha, Bobby and Rose. It's another stupid movie.
Uh-huh.
And there was a movie with... oh, God, I'm trying to think of her name. Raquel Welch, called like the Kansas City Bombers. And I thought it was a World War II movie. Had no idea. Oh, it was about women roller derby team. You had no idea what movies were about, because you just have to show
but
up.
But you were right, though. All those movies had to have one titty scene.
Yeah.
They had to.
Unfortunately, it wasn't Raquel Welch's titties. But all right, do you have the Chariots of the Gods?
Yeah, here we go.
Let's take a look.
Chariots of the Gods, the international bestseller by Eric Von Däniken that shattered conventional theories about history and archaeology. Now Sun International brings it to the screen in a startling new film. Chariots of the Gods explores Von Däniken's controversial and explosive theory that beings from other galaxies visited Earth in ancient times. Did a genius from another world design the pyramids? Is there evidence of a prehistoric airfield in the Andes? And what about the giant stone faces that brood over Easter Island?
We don't know either, but we need your money.
And what about getting your money back after you see this?
Mind-opening experience. See Chariots of the Gods. Rated G.
My kids wouldn't last 18 seconds in that theater.
Rated S for sucker.
That's right. But it's whatever was playing, whatever's nearby.
No, and you didn't complain. I remember, you didn't ask for your money back. You realized you got taken. That was it.
It was
shame on you.
Doc Savage was one. There's the man of gold in the golden city or whatever. It's just amateur hour junk that was just being pushed out because they knew... there's no competition. It's at the El Portal Theater. Yeah. I live seven blocks from the El Portal Theater, and I'm going to walk there on Saturday because I'm bored out of my mind, and I'm a latchkey kid, and I'm going to put up the $1.25, and I'm going to sit there and watch whatever burnt offering they put in front of me.
Yeah, or sneak into the next one.
Speaking of burnt offering, burnt offerings was one of the...
schlock.
Burnt offerings was like the devil. There was anything with the devil, dog, or anything.
Well, there was one, I remember that was really scary, and I think I saw it when I was seven or something, because my parents had literally no parental controls for anything. They did whatever's going to happen. I was the youngest of five. By the time I grew up, I was like, Rob, here's the car keys, here's where the alcohol is.
Right.
Whatever happens, we got others. And so... we would go as a group. They would never. We never got a babysitter to watch us while they went to saw a movie. If they wanted to see, the Planet of the Apes, and I'm 5 years old, they took everybody.
Right.
We just dealt with it. We saw I remember 2001: A Space Odyssey. That wild thing at the end. We know where he's going through, and it seems some sort of God vision or whatever. But I remember this really scary one called "Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things," which is I guess a really crappy movie. So children shouldn't play with... But basically, they get this book that they're supposed to read, and they go to this island. So you know you're in trouble when a bunch of kids go to an island. They can't get out.
That's right.
They take a boat to an island, and then they have to... And the only part, because I left. I couldn't make it to the theater. They dig up a dead guy who's actually... His body's in really good shape. And then they read this certain curse or whatever. And then from that thing, they the bodies are supposed to come back. So they dig up the one body, and then they read the curse, and then the bodies don't come up right then. They don't realize it takes a while for the bodies to come up. So after they go to sleep, the bodies start to come alive. But by the time the bodies started to come alive, I started to get the hell out of there. I was like, I can't make it. Is that the movie yet?
The poster is reminiscent of Weekend at Bernie's.
Is there a trailer on the
Aloha, Bobby and Rose, by the way, 1975. Burnt Offerings, okay. 1976. There's a reason these things never pop up. I don't know if you did, Rob. We're about the same age. I don't know. There was a high school version of this, which is I can drive. I can decide what movies I'm going to see.
Yeah.
There are decent movies in the movie theater, but now we really need to double down on the titties.
Yeah.
And Vampire Succubuses is playing like in Hollywood at the Rialto at midnight. Yeah. We're going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you had to. I mean, if there was any chance to see a tit, whether it's in person or on the screen.
Just the one.
Yeah, I'll go for the one. Yeah,
right.
There's 13 tits in this movie. I'm going.
I was trying to jog my memory of a certain movie, and I can't find it. But what I did come across was 1973, just a particularly horrible year for movies.
No, because you had like Exorcist, Bruce Lee.
Well, I also came across
Enter the Dragon. Hello.
What about Scream? Blackula Scream.
Oh, that wasn't
exploitation.
Yeah, first there was some. Yeah, well, that was pretty similar to Dolomite.
Dolomite. Wow.
That must have been 71, Dolomite. But like by 73, they were stretching that genre of blaxploitation movies.
Yeah. On a blaxploitation note, I was thinking, I always laugh whenever I see that thing where Yoko Ono is playing with John and John is playing with Chuck Berry and she keeps pulling the mic off the stand and going into it. And then they do another song and they actually pot her mic down and she's pulling into it again, just screaming into it. It's the funniest, weirdest thing ever. And you see Chuck Berry's like eyes, like Chuck's playing Johnny Be Good and Yoko standing, pulls the mic off the stand and she goes, and you see Chuck Berry's face go, what? Because he has experienced like probably bad backup singers.
Right.
And he's also experienced like, feedback from amps, but he's never experienced someone screaming into a microphone behind him.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, touring for 40 years at this point, and she's going, wah, wah, wah. She's screaming into it. And I thought, let's really examine John Lennon and the great Ike Turner in terms of their pimp hand.
The great.
Oh, no.
Because. Oh, yeah. John Lennon was married to a woman who couldn't sing at all and would just scream into the mic and screw up the performance.
Confidently.
Never laid a hand on her. Ike had a woman who could sing, could dance,
talent.
And brought home buckets of money, and he beat the shit out of her. Now, I'd like to get the two of them in the same room and go, hey, now look here.
We got to divide this more evenly.
First off, I'm not judging, but I do notice things. And poor Tina Turner's like, I just came home with another pillowcase full of cash. Get out of here, bitch. And he backhands her like, she goes out on stage and literally sweats her ass off up there and then comes home with a sack of money.
Item A.
And you beat her up.
Yep.
Quite a difference in pimp hands.
So basically, Adam's one saying, share the beatings.
Well, hold on, Rob.
I just want to be clear.
Look, you could go none at all. Surprise me. What I'm saying is either way, this math doesn't work for this podcast.
But that's the thing now, getting to like this censorship era that we've talked about this ad nauseum, because it seems to be getting worse and worse. Whereas like, just because you don't particularly want to hear something, you know, the idea that you should shift power into stopping other people from enjoying that, which is that the great John Cleese told me once, he said, like, you know, there's the most sensitive members of society should not be the ones deciding what everybody else gets to listen to, watch, or hear, you know? And
right. I concur. Although, the guy, you can find the clip, Max, but the guy who censored Yoko on the second song by potting down her mic, that was
commended.
A form of censorship. Yeah. I think we can all endorse.
I think that's rational censorship.
Maybe her pimp hand was strong.
Oh,
maybe John was a little cower when they'd get home.
He did, you know, there was a couple of, you know, those shots where he was like naked and in a fetal position around her and stuff. Yeah. Like she may have.
A little bit of a Dom, a BDSM.
Yeah, she may have wore the pants.
Mistress
you got
Yoko.
That, Max?
She had something on him for sure. Just in the sense of, a, I don't know what it was that she provided to him. He went for it.
I'd like to see a nice cuckold film that starred Ike Turner, John Lennon. In the great Yoko Ono.
Wow. We all have to see that. God willing, it's got dug up someday.
It's just
some of the stuff, like it's shocking to me that it wasn't that shocking then, but if you see it now, it will be shocking. Like, I remember we did this sketch on Saturday Night Live with Kirstie Alley. It was based on Adam Sandler and I went out to dinner at this place called Il Cortile, a little Italian restaurant. And I just noticed the waiters there when we walked in, because we had girlfriends. We started finally, like, it was our first year. We were cast members.
Is that
money.
Freshy Pepper?
Huh?
Is it the Freshy Pepper?
No, it's the
Feely Rock.
It's the Bellissima sketch. You know, okay. The Italian waiters, they came over and they started kissing our girlfriends. Right. Bellissima. One comes over and they're hugging, you know, and then they come to the table and then, you know, whatever. And I thought, you know, it's their culture or whatever. And then Adam Sandler went off that and with the great comedy writer Rob Smigel at about 3 o'clock in the morning Tuesday night. Which is like basically a Wednesday morning. They come in and they can't even talk. They're just handing me this thing. They're just giggling, you know, just like little 9-year-olds. And I read the script and then it's just about this kissing and licking and humping. And then I'm falling on the floor laughing and I'm literally falling over. Okay. And they said, okay, it's not just us. This is something. And so then Kirstie Alley, we showed it to her and she's like what I would consider, you know, a woman is like a broad.
Right.
Like a woman's just like, this is a broad. She's like, I love it. It's hilarious, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was basically us humping and I'm licking her face. And Adam Sandler's like, you know, he's in a diaper basically, you know, humping her leg. And then Dana Carvey's got Victoria Jackson up on the table, lifting her legs up, you know, having sex there on the table.
We have a clip of it, I think.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bellissima.
It's coming into an Italian restaurant.
Nice for you, bellissima. Yeah, right. Sit down.
Dana Carvey.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. There you go, a little menu. I'll be right back. Sit down. Take it easy. Okay.
Listen,
how are you? How are you two doing? Ah, bellissima. I told you I take care of you. This is a Carlo. He's our best man. I tell him I'm a salary. Oh, so this is the anniversary. Okay, I leave you in good hands, signor. Bellissima.
What's her face? Yeah.
Tonight we have a special anniversary dish for you.
Excuse me.
Don't Joe Biden on her hair.
We don't have appetizer. No. Fabio, bring appetizer.
Here is a bruschetta.
Adam Sandler.
It's diced tomato on the toasty bread and antipasta for signore and bellissima. Oh, yes.
What's the matter? You don't like a bruschetta? Carlo, what do you bring them?
I tell Fabio to bring bruschetta and antipasta for signore and bellissima.
What the antipasta for anniversary? Casaverenza, carverei. Oh, I'm so sorry, antipasto.
That's not
no,
the
no,
problem.
No, I know. Listen, I make a special tuna carpaccio for you, right? Very thin, very delicious.
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like? Oh, good. I make a carpaccio for you, bellissima. You like a bellissima. Oh, bellissima.
She's licking all over her face.
Hey, excuse me. This is getting really out of hand here. Hey, excuse me.
So anyway, you know, we're licking her face and then, like, you know, Chris Farley's humps the table. And so it's just and I'm telling you, people were screaming laughing. I remember the Adam Sandler at one point where he comes out in the diaper and like a minute later. I remember before we shared a dressing room together and he said to me right before we're you know, 5 minutes before, should I shave my pubes? And we're like, yeah, why not? I know how itchy that would be for him later. And so he's in there shaving his, you know, anyway. So I just remember, like, we were looking at each other. We're 2 feet away from each other. And the audience was laughing so hard we couldn't even hear each other. We're 2 feet away from each other. And I thought, like, whoa, this is really working. And then I was literally naked from my – I literally had my ass hanging out. And the censor was begging me, please don't show your ass. Please. I'll get fired. I'll definitely get fired. Please. I have a family. Please don't show your ass. Please. Just turn backwards. And then the writer's going, show your ass. Show your ass. So anyway, but I'm just saying that would never happen today.
You would never – we'd never thing. Have that.
Gone.
We have the clip of Chuck up on – it's Mike Douglas's show. And John's living his dream.
This
which
is a TV
is
show.
Playing with Chuck Berry. And it's funny. There's thing that I find interesting in this. You guys tell me.
Look at the love in those eyes of those two guys.
Oh, he's playing with his hero. And Yoko is up on stage, and she's playing like a tom-tom drum, which is... You don't need in a rock and roll band.
You want to hear it.
But the thing that's
funny... It's a participation trophy of rock and roll. Yeah.
But there's something that's interesting. There's another guy... It is. There's another guy who's playing the same drum. And I thought about it, and I thought, wait a minute. I've seen a million rock acts. I've never seen that drum.
Even Paul Simon is drunkest.
Right.
Never had two tom-toms on stage.
And I'm wondering if you gave your wife with no musical ability a tom-tom drum to play, people go, what's she doing up there? But if you gave a dude to stand next to her and play the same thing...
It's normal now.
All right, anyway, here's... it's Memphis, Tennessee, right? Yeah. Look at Chuck Berry. Who would ever believe that that guy would film somebody? Oh, wait, sorry, I got to go back. I talked over. Who would ever believe someone would film that guy in the bathroom? Just look at him. No. You'd never believe that in a million years.
Dude, he was like almost 50 there, and look how great he looked.
All right, go ahead, sir. At some point, I think they pot her down, and she's like pulling the mic off the stand and screaming into it again. Which
That's
is
wild.
I never thought I'd say this, but poor Chuck Berry.
You see Chuck's see his eyes open. Like, yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, it looked like Brian's old roommate when he's getting into a sugar snack.
I think you can say pussy whipped. Yes. John was definitely pussy whipped.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is... I'm sure him and Ike Turner were in the same room at some point backstage at Fillmore or something. There must have been...
Words exchanged.
Exchanged a pleasantry.
Now, that was a moment ruined. You can say that for sure. John Lennon was just so... Like, you're right. I mean, John Lennon was once asked, you know, if you can call rock and roll, if you had another name for rock and roll, you'd probably call it Chuck Berry.
There you go. That was his dream. But also, you guys tell me if I'm a douche. If somebody said to me, like, hey, you're going to play with your legendary... Like, if somebody said, look, who's your... George Carlin, that's your favorite stand-up. Yeah. And they go, you can get up on stage with him and you can do Who's On First together. I'd go, oh, my God. And if my wife said, can I go? I'd go, yeah, but you're staying in the fucking audience. Like, you're not going on a stage. You're not a comedian.
You're talking to a guy who does a TV show with his wife.
I would have said to my wife, look, you don't... This is Chuck Berry, and you don't play instruments, so come on to the taping, but stay off the stage.
This is my third marriage. I got to make this work because I really like my house.
What would you guys do if your significant other said, whatever version of this, I want to get up there and just pick up something and stand there?
I would say, honey, let me ask. That sounds like a great idea.
Let me ask Chuck.
I'd love to have it. You know, I love you.
I got to run this by.
Right.
But like, it's not up to me.
Right.
I got to talk to Chuck. I mean, he's the legend.
I think it's a great idea.
You guys aren't chicks, so you can't say this.
What?
Can't you just let me have this?
You're right.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You know how much I've given up for you, Adam Carolla? I don't ask to go on your podcast. The one thing, and you wouldn't give it to me. Well, let me tell you something, mister.
We got Chuck later on. I'll tease it. But later on, Johnny B. Good, she's screaming into the mic, and you don't hear anything because the sound guy just went turning this. I don't know what's going on, but I'm potting her down. Hold on a second. Hey, Dawson, I don't know if you sound engineers have a Hall of Fame. But this guy should be getting a gold jacket in the next induction ceremony.
Sure. They should do a special memorial for him at the Rock and Roll Induction Ceremony Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's two guys I'd like to see in the Hall of Fame. I want the guy who potted down Yoko on Johnny B. Good in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because, hey, John's in there. Mm-hmm. Chuck's in there. How about the guy who made it possible?
But the real hero.
Enjoy that.
And let's also put the guy
in the Baseball Hall of Fame, I want the... Triple A ball catcher who brought a potato with him.
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
and chucked it over the third baseman's head and then tagged the guy on third who trotted in with the actual That's baseball. Amazing. I want those two inducted.
Show me in the rule book, Ritzel.
Don't bring a potato.
Those are the two guys I need in the Hall of Fame.
No, because what it did was...
Janet Jackson.
The guy with the potato... The guy, I know exactly. The Hall of Fame. It's just a Hall of Fame. It's just an excuse to have a party to raise money for that stupid
The idea that Janet Jackson's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the guy potted down Yoko on the Mike Douglas Show in 1977...
Buy a ticket.
No, because here's the thing. But between... what those three things have in common is ruining something potentially great. You know, the guy throwing the potato is ruining this idea of baseball and how what a beautiful game it is because you could just, you know, it's just a stupid idea.
As a young comedian sitting in North Hollywood watching George Michael's Giant Sports Machine,
that's right,
bored out of my gourd, 1984, and him hitting it and him telling me this story.
Gourd.
I was delighted. Delighted. All right, we'll play the other one in a second. First, I'll tell you about J.B. Weld. Oh, I love these guys. Can I tell you, I was wandering the floor of SEMA. I went to another building where they sell all the bench vices and all the adhesives, and I ran into the J.B. Weld guy, and we hugged. We hugged it out, man. It's so much better than ordinary household glue because J.B. Weld ain't ordinary. It's got the strength. When it matters, choose the leader in epoxy adhesives for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, your kitchen drawer, or your craft room. JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
Love these guys. And they have everything now. I've been using them my whole life, but now they have 50 different products. We use it here. JB Weld, world's strongest bond available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, and more. It is JB Weld. So a little later, they're getting into Johnny B. Goode, and she tries that mic move again.
Yeah. Well, we'll show you once again just Memphis, and then it'll go into Johnny B. Goode, just so you can hear the difference.
Now, the mic is on a flexible mic stand, and it's 3 feet off the ground because she's hitting a tom-tom drum, and she then puts the drum down and pulls it out and holds it in front of her and starts screaming into it, which, whatever your craft is...
Screaming into
this
a microphone.
This is not your performance. It is your husband is this is basically Make-A-Wish Foundation for rich people who aren't dead yet.
Yeah.
And this is him going out with Chuck Berry is his dream, and you're screaming into a mic. Okay, here we are. Sorry.
We're home. It's on the south side, high up on a ridge. He used to carry his guitar in a gunny sack, posted beneath the tree by the railroad track. Oh, engineer with him.
She's going for it.
Shade, strumming with the rhythm that the driver made. People passing by, they would stop and say, oh my, but that little country boy. Oh, go!
How fat is that guy right now?
She's
screaming into the
mic. Going for it.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Well, the guy that is also, I think, was somebody that Yoko brought. She's like, no, you can come. You sit next to me. John loves you. He's a
the
good.
The other guy in the conga or whatever that hell drum is.
But that was a great moment because, you know, I think even John Lennon just tuned her out there and just was in that moment. You know, just to be able to sing with him and the harmony, Chuck Berry, that was a very generous moment next to Insanity. Insanity is always a few minutes away from you at any time in your life, just so you know. That's a proof.
I'm asking a very serious question. The ride home after the taping of the Mike Douglas Show, when they got into the back of the limo and they were heading uptown, was there a discussion? Like, did John, in the nicest way possible, or was she pissed off that the sound guy potted down the mic?
I don't think she knew at the time.
I don't think she knew.
She found out
eventually. I've watched it a few times, and it's like, it doesn't seem to be, she seemed to keep trying. Like, how come I can't be heard? But does he say anything? Look, there are many different options on the table. He could be outraged at the sound guy for potting down the mic.
Nope.
She could be apologetic. Chuck could be pissed. Like, where are we on the ride home or zero discussion?
I think he was on another plane. He was high, I think, probably one of those. And I think the other thing was, like, for anybody who has any doubt who helped melt down the Beatles, I think there's evidence That's post evidentiary. I think you can put that in after the fact and go back in time and say, this is a problem.
Yeah,
I don't
think it would have gotten to this point if he ever said anything to her.
Okay, John.
Yes.
Let me ask this.
Please.
Hypothetically.
Please
I wasn't there.
Yes, but please ask away, Adam. I'm a big fan of the show.
The following week, when you were booked to be on the Dinah Shore show.
Yes.
With Fats Domino.
Yes. I've always been a big fan of Fats.
You were going to play a live song.
I've always been a fan of his.
Let's twist again,
right.
Like we did last summer.
When right.
They asked me to go on there,
right.
So like months ago.
Blueberry Hill.
There you go.
Yeah. B.B. King. You were going to be on Dinah Shore with B.B. King the following weekend.
Absolutely.
Legend.
I was grateful to Dinah that she invited me.
And you're going to play a song with him. And Yoko said, great, what time is sound rehearsal? What time should I be there to get up on stage?
So what a dream come true for you. What time is the rehearsal? Yoko, to be honest, I think I don't know what day it is, but I'm going to go get some lunch tomorrow around noon, if that's all right. I'll be back very quickly, if you don't mind. But this is something else I would not like ruined for the rest
all
of my
right.
life.
Did he try to dissuade her?
I don't know how much time I have left on this planet. You never know. There's a lot of crazy people out there, you know. So I prefer just, you know, going out to do this on myself, if you don't mind.
Based on everything I know about the Beatles, John was pretty sprung over Yoko in that era, the late 60s and early 70s. Like, he was enamored with her. She was a performer. She was an artist. She was a performance artist. She was an artist. And thus, she could paint her brush on anything he did. Album. She was on all of his solo albums.
I think the thing was, in all honesty.
Find Linda McCartney up on stage.
Oh, no.
She was another disaster. Let me tell you, though, that they're. I also think there's. I don't know, but they get into it. But I do think that she offered like a world view for him that he never had before that.
I buy into all of it, but this is 1976 or something.
72.
Oh, 72.
That's what it said.
Sorry.
Anyway, that's what it said.
We're getting into the 70s. I mean, he's a performer. He's a rock and roll performer. It's his life, you know, and his sound checks and Ringo and how's the harmony and tune up the bass and everything.
Yeah.
Performing with a guy who thinks he's one of the greatest performers ever. He had to respect her world of art, but probably not wanted
not
to
there.
Bleed into
yeah.
this
showcase
arena.
It, yeah.
He probably had respect for this arena.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, if there was another opportunity to get up on stage with a legend, would he dissuade her?
Yoko, I'll be honest with you. If you ever do that again with one of my heroes, I'm going to take some of that sushi and shove it so far up your ass. It'll widen everything, get you a new perspective on life. But I don't know. I do think that, like...
Oh, wait, let's have John Lennon introduce Yoko Ono to Ike Turner.
This is going now. I'd like to introduce a fantastic performer. This is a guy who actually, maybe doesn't have the best view of women, but I think he's a great performer. And obviously he's with Tina Turner, who is way extremely more talented than himself. And he's going to come out. And Yoko, I'd like you to watch some of the eye contact between the two of them when they're on stage, if you don't mind. And maybe, you know, perhaps there's some hidden messages going on there.
All right, we got. Do you have Linda McCartney from? I was thinking, like, Paul McCartney couldn't make that much fun of John Lennon for Yoko because there's some backing vocals from Linda McCartney up on stage too that they isolated.
I think most guys, I don't know, speaking of. From experience, most guys are a little bit scared of women. I had a very dominating mother. My mother was Asian. I grew up with, like, see what happens? Robert, you fell down. See what happens? You broke that. See what happens? You know, I remember we were playing basketball 3 miles away from the house when I was a little kid. Somebody twisted an ankle and I heard, Balak! See what happens? See what? Balak!
All right, we'll get some news going. I don't know, Max, but I feel like that Linda thing's pretty out there.
Yeah, it's
her singing background.
But the difference is the other guy turned the mic off. Right here. This other guy isolated the mic with her.
I'm just saying, God rest her soul. No disrespect. But
I met her. She was lovely.
Paul couldn't really make fun of John because he had his woman up there singing background.
Oh,
Engineer Hall of Fame. The guy who ISO'd Linda.
Okay. You know, you make fun of Ringo, but Ringo was married to Barbara Bach,
that's right,
who was smoking hot and knew to stay home when he performed.
I'm going to say, I really think Paul McCartney insisted on his wife being on stage with him.
You think?
I really did. Yeah. She wasn't pushed away on it. She seemed like the nicest lady when I met her. She gave me like a cookbook.
You know? I'm sure she's a delight. I'm just saying it's kind of ironic that both guys married people who came out and performed, but they didn't bring as much to the performance.
I think Yoko was the pushy one. I think for Paul is like, no, you should come out. It'd be fun for you. About
that. Yeah, everyone in the comments are saying the difference between Yoko and Linda is Linda knew she sucked. And that she knew she had little to no musical talent, but was really encouraged by Paul to perform.
I feel like if you begged me to get up and juggle, like at a dinner party, I would have one answer. I don't juggle. Not, you have tennis balls. I just not do it. Like your answer, like I don't care how much I was begged to perform. If I can't perform, I would go,
yeah, still no.
There's a sketch I did on this album, my album that I did years ago, Registered Offender, about Yoko Ono, because it's a true story from the book that Julian Lennon's mom, what's her name?
Cynthia
Lennon. She wrote a book, and she talks about, like, after John was killed, Julian came to New York, and then said, you know, he wanted, like, something from his father. He said, well, take one of, you know, she said, take a guitar off the wall. Yoko, and he went to go take it. He goes, no, not that one.
Wow!
She gave him a guitar that he never played.
Yoko
and that was
did
in the book. Yeah.
Oh man!
No, not that one. No.
All right, let's do some news, Gina Grad. If we could,
let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, just hours after Prince Harry and Meghan revealed their newborn son to the world, the child's name has been announced, and boy, people lost some money on this. This was heavy bookings, apparently, on all those betting sites. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex have named their child Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor.
Oh, that is off the board.
Yeah.
That's not one of the options.
No, it was not. Before the announcement.
Oh, that's where I got the long thread this morning. I don't know what to do. I have a group of guys who text, but they all know what's going on, and I don't know what's going on.
They jump in mid-conversation.
I wake up this morning, and I've got my phone, and it's Danny Two Sheets Kellison, it's Jimmy, and it's Cousin Sal, and it says, like, Sal's kids, one of his sons is Archie, and the other one is Harrison. So it's Archie Harrison,
wow.
And I just look at the phone. It says Archie Harrison. What are the chances? And I'm like, oh,
you mean you
don't know what
you don't check Twitter at 6:30 in the morning?
I have no idea what's going on, and now I want to weigh in, but I don't have a perspective because I'm not sure what's going on. And
wow.
Now I know.
There it is. Now, before the announcement, the name Spencer had 4-1 odds because that was the maiden name of Princess Diana. But they didn't go with it. Other top picks for the royal baby name were James and Alexander, both 5-1 odds. Archie was nowhere on the list.
You guys help me.
I like it. It's cute.
Help me with this. With this one, somebody praising you or doing something for you because of circumstances, like, oh, they have to kiss your ass. You know that scene where it's like you go in and there's some realtor chick and she's like, oh, I'm a big fan and you look great in this house. I had a new jacket or whatever. Like realtor chicks. Yeah. Like they have to be nice to you. Like they have to be nice.
Yeah.
Part of the job.
And I never really take it as a compliment. It's like that's just them doing what they're doing. And then there's other situations where you do something or it's another comedian and he saw your set. He's impressed or he said, hey, man, I read your book, man, and I gave it to my wife, and she loved it, or whatever. Like, the real, I've seen your work, I appreciate your work, versus I have to be nice to you sort of thing.
Yeah.
when you're royalty, and it's like your life is like a world of people have to be nice to me. I was just born into this. And yeah, I went through a little military training and I did a bunch of shit that everyone does. But everyone really has to make a big deal out of it. And they really have to be nice to me. That would just be a world of discomfort for me. I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't feel good about myself.
Most people would like it.
I think they would.
They would just deny that. They would just... do self-denial and go, I am that great. Yeah.
But don't you...
I do need it. I deserve it.
Why wouldn't I? Don't you guys sort of draw a straight line between how you feel about yourself to your accomplishments or what you've gotten done or... You know, like if my dad was super famous and everyone's just super nice to me because my dad was like super famous, it'd be weird. Like,
well, that's why Schwarzenegger wanted to be governor, because you know, if you're a movie star, one weekend when the movie comes out a year, you're all over the place. But if you're the governor, everywhere you go, you're the star. You know, that's why the politics is like, you know, show business for ugly people, they say. But it is, there's that excitement every time. So I think there is a draw to it. I think people who get sucked into it is the potential for, you know, for disaster for them. You know, people to do bad shit because of it, because they believe the hype.
Well, I'm just saying for him and then for her, she married into it. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone always, no one ever thinks this way, but I would think this way. I would just feel weird, just like married into this world.
You have to be precautious of it.
That's what sucks, because I have three daughters. So I have two little daughters, and they're watching these things where, like, so that's the thing, the hope for is like the Cinderella, like you're abused your whole childhood, and then all of a sudden your life's depending on some guy saving you.
He's going to rescue
you. That's it? You got to wait for that guy? The guy's like, that's going to come?
He better be hot or he's not coming by.
The great end to this story is going to be when Meghan Markle's dad... When we do King Ralph 2, John Goodman's from Milwaukee. He swills beer, but he's going to be king.
It's his sister who came right and said, yep. I demand to see. She's my sister. She's my half sister. Well, I'm going to see her. I'm not leaving. Step this way, please. We're having you removed.
Yeah, the only one who's been invited inside the walls is the mom. Otherwise, the Markles are persona non grata.
That's cool, though. I love that. It's got to be great. That's what I like about him, you know, her husband. It's like, he was like, I'm fine with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Fucking hot.
Next one.
Well, speaking of baby names, it's just funny because it all happened at the same time. Amy Schumer revealed the name of her son as well.
Also Archie Harrison. Weird.
Yeah, and it was completely a coincidence. His name is Gene Attell Fisher. Amy Schumer shared the name of her newborn son on social media.
It was a tweet launched toward employees of Chick-fil-A. And she talked about long hours,
day laborers,
hot work conditions, and then at the end,
dignity.
What's her kid's name?
Gene Attell Fisher. Now, I don't know if you know this. I listened to a podcast and I heard him talking about it. I guess she's known. I don't know this for sure, but it seems like it's sort of homage to Dave Attell, because apparently they were childhood friends, and his mom would babysit her, and they kind of grew up together. So make sense that's the connection there. But I can't confirm.
I would be so much funnier if my mom was best friends with Dave Attell's mom. Her best friend was Dorothy Gravitch. She was a substitute school teacher and the angriest person I've ever met in my life.
My mom never got any jokes. She had great laugh, though. She'd go, ha, ha, ha. What does it mean? Please tell us, what does it mean? I don't understand.
Dorothy Gravitch was so mean that I got caught pulling a plum off of her plum tree, like in front of her house, and she gave that, you march yourself right home, young man. Like all this stuff no one would ever say in a million years. Can you imagine you walk outside your house, and when you're one of your kid's friends, 9-year-old, has climbed up the tree and he's picking himself a plum, and you just unleash on him like, you, young man, excuse you. Veins coming out of your neck. Excuse, hold my cigarette. Young man, excuse, you march yourself off of that tree. You turn around, you march yourself home right now. It's like, who had all this time as an adult when I was a kid? Like, these guys would come outside in their fucking slippers and bathrobe and start yelling at you.
So many
you know,
gotcha
it's like,
moments.
What is that? I'm not doing anything.
No, what you say is, hold on, let me get you a Ralph's bag because you can get more and take them home with you.
If I saw somebody picking fruit to consume it, like not chucking it in a plate glass window. Like, I'm going to go to the church and take out some stained glass. Like, just to eat it because I was poor and hungry.
You,
like,
you weren't pissing on their station wagon.
Right. This just starts screaming at everybody.
It's insane.
It is, right?
Yeah,
but I knew 30 adults that were that way. Young man, excuse you. Is that, did you buy that peanut butter? Then who's you march yourself, young man, step away from the pantry. You march yourself into that living room.
Like, that might work in your house.
Oh, it's like a lot of like, is that yours? You know. And by the way, they knew the answer. Your feet are up on the coffee table. Did you purchase that guy? Yeah, I'm nine. Show it down to fucking Pier One. Fucking did it in cash, bitch. I brought it with me. And when I go to friends' houses, I bring my own coffee table because I like putting my tootsies up. It's a circulation problem. No, I didn't purchase it.
I think
a lot of open-ended questions back then.
I think Amy Schumer's gotten a bit of the taste of, like, I need to be politically, I need to be a political statement at this point.
Well, her act has changed quite a bit since she started. Because she used to play sort of a caricature of herself, but I don't think that's the way anymore.
You should never apologize for a joke. I agree with Bill Burr 100% on that, no matter what. Especially going back in time and apologizing for something from the past. Like, you know, it's not a... She used to have a joke. She used to say, I used to date Hispanics men. Now I like consensual.
I know. Hold on. Dorothy Gravitz says, you take that joke, young man. You march it right back to the steno pad.
That's a joke. I mean, people got to know, hey, this is a joke. I'm not making a statement about, you know, I'm not running for president. My first statement is, these people, I'm sure some of them are good, but they're rapists, they're murderers.
The first joke my wife ever said to me when we were dating, she just said, why shouldn't you hit a Mexican on a bicycle? And I was like, I don't know. Why not? She went, that might be your bike.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's. I just remember
that
you
better march that joke. You young lady, you take that joke. Did you turn around?
Did you buy that joke?
You march
used
that
to be,
right
no.
back.
They were like you. They used to have, if you went into B. Dalton or whatever the bookstore back in the '70s was. There used to be like a rack of all racist jokes. I mean, literally, there was like the Polish, the Mexican, the Italian, the Croatian. You know, well, name your pick. You know.
Croatian was always sold out. Always on back order. All the Croats in the neighborhood, you want to settle their hash, but never having the verbal ammunition to do it. Well, finally.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That cover the pizza that you're eating pizza on, that's our flag. Well, the Croatian joke.
All right. Let me tell you about betonline.ag. May starts with a ton of sports excitement. NBA, NHL playoffs, MLB, and more. One place has you covered. It's a place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for 50% welcome bonus. So you got you sign up, use podcast1, get the 50%. NBA heating up. God, where are we now? Warriors? Is that thing a best of three if they played that?
Yeah, by the time people hear this, game five will have been played.
Yeah, but is it a best of five? It's a best of seven, right?
Well, it's a best of seven, but it's down to a best of three now, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
I love it. Anyway, don't sit on the sidelines. Don't forget the promo code podcast1, or you can text BETNOW to 238669 and get the 50% welcome bonus. Bet online. .ag, your online sportsbook.
Your online sports place. Right, I do it.
Let's do a couple more, Gina Gray.
All right. Well, Donald Trump began his day on Twitter fighting back against the New York Times, which published 10 years of his IRS tax records showing business losses of more than $1 billion between 1985 and 1994. He called the piece a highly inaccurate hit job. He said it was fake news. He went on to explain, real estate developers in the 1980s and 1990s, more than 30 years ago, were entitled to massive write-offs. He went on to say that all real estate developers did this, often renegotiating with banks. They considered it sport. It was just the normal thing they did. According to the Times, Trump lost so much money over that time that he was able to avoid paying income tax for 8 years.
Here's my feeling with all tax and all tax records. Everybody, I have these conversations with my accountant all the time. I'm sure Rob does. Anyone who makes money, the government wants an inordinate chunk of your money, an insane amount of your money. That's what they want. And then your job is to do everything that doesn't get you audited or arrested in front of it. There are no other rules.
Everything legal that you can do, do. Especially in the state of California, we have a super majority of morons, I mean Democrats, who are trying, who literally will just continue to invade your personal space and your life and your business, and there's just nothing holding them back. And it's like, they raised up the taxes and said, we're going to, I remember Governor Brown, we're going to raise it up to 13.3% for those wealthy, crazy people, you know, and then we're going to, but it's only going to be temporary. Now they extended it to 2030. It's like, it's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. So in terms of Trump, you can make an argument that he's a bad businessman. That's fine. The part, the legal part or the immoral part, the part where it's like, well, should you have been doing that? You should do everything you can possibly do right up to the edge of getting arrested in taxes. And it's what everyone does. Every corporation and anyone with an ounce of brains would do. And it's not because you're a bad person or unpatriotic. They fired the first shot. They wanted a huge amount of your money. And you're basically trying to get your 52% down to 41%. That's essentially your battle. You're trying to do everything they feel entitled to. Every time you turn a profit, everything they want from you, you have to try to fight it. But you have to stay in these boundaries.
If you have money and you dare complain about it, like it was the golfer Mickelson was complaining about how crazy the high taxes are in the state, you know, and he had to apologize for feeling like this is his money. And like, I don't want to have to give it all back to the state of California for the for just the benefit of living in the state of California.
He worked his ass off playing golf, sometimes three times a week.
And left-handed, by the way.
And left-handed,
which is like the opposite for the way that these courses are built.
He's got to do that move over and over again where he puts the dime down to mark his ball. He has to bend down, pick up the ball, then bend down again.
He doesn't have anybody carrying his bags. No, wait, he does have a guy carrying his bags. I'm sorry.
He has to oftentimes mix lemonade and iced tea together and enjoy that.
And that doesn't account the work he does in commercials for drug companies of drugs that he doesn't use.
This guy hits the whites only country club and slaves away in the hot sun every day to make this money, only to have the state of California snatch it away from his hands.
But he earned it.
It's criminal.
It's his money.
I agree.
No.
All right.
Well, speaking of Trump, Billy Bush, you remember, the TV host whose career was derailed by the leak of that 2005
conversation. He got
why he got torpedoed. I mean, I understand
somebody
he
says
was
something
there.
Crazy, but if somebody says something crazy, I guess you should have to say, that's outrageous. How dare you say that? And you can't just go, well, whatever, you know.
Nobody,
not the only reason, but he made the mistake of apologizing.
Oh, he should never. Look,
that's Trump's thing. Never apologize.
Everyone has been there. Everybody has been in that position, especially if you played organized sports. There's like 30 nut jobs team where they just say horrible things. And you go, oh, yeah, man. I feel. And then you leave and you go, I'm not hanging out with that guy. Or that's over. Done.
Right.
Like his exchange.
I'm not driving in a car with that guy either.
You just go, I'm done with that guy. But I don't stand there and verbally settle his hash. First off, Trump's got 18 inches and 122 pounds on Billy Bush. Like, you're not going to corner the guy in the motorhome and explain to him what he's done wrong.
You're out of line.
You just laugh and then you move on.
Yeah, and then get out of there.
Well, also, Trump was jovial when he was saying it. Like, he wasn't threatening. I know the news stories, like, he threatened to rape women or assault women, but he was
going... He did use the word let, by the way.
He was posturing.
Women, he didn't say that you can grab. He said women will let
but
you.
But why?
That's the word that's often left out of that conversation.
Why?
Not that I agree with that either, but...
No. The way... What's done with that story is, he is making a pompous statement because that's who he is. He's doing a braggadocious, pompous statement, which is very much, what's Brian say, on brand.
Indeed.
He's making a very on brand Trump statement.
That's a Trump moment. Yeah.
Trump, he's going, oh, who's going to meet us? Oh, I may kiss her. I can't stop myself from kissing her. He didn't kiss her.
Yeah.
He met the girl and he didn't kiss her. Why not? Because he was doing his thing. He was being Trumparian.
I was in a
Trumplonian.
One of the low points of my life, I was actually a judge in one of the Miss USA things, and he said, like, hey, listen, you guys could vote. He owned the whole thing. He said, you could vote for whoever you wanted, but I'm just telling you, if you want America to win Miss Universe, you gotta vote for the blonde with the big tits. Oh. If you want her to win. I'm saying it's up to you. You guys vote for whoever you want.
Hold on, is this John Lennon?
No, and I'm watching this and I'm going, what the hell am I doing here? And I said, Yoko, who should we vote for? And she said, you should not vote for that one.
But Billy Bush just got, what? I don't get it. Like, well, somebody tape recorded him. First off,
was it a lob that was on, by the way?
You're recording people when they don't have permission to be recorded and they're not in front of a camera, there's no context for them, then it's all null and void. To me, unless it's a mafia informant, yes.
Well, yeah. Not to Billy Bush, because he basically went into hiding for the last 3 years, but he is going to return to TV in the fall. He's going to anchor a new show called Extra.
Called Secret
Extra.
Love. Secret Love.
Extra,
the
Extra.
Love is on.
Also, I
the love machine.
I want to say this about Billy Bush and Matt Lauer. Once America finds out you don't really
that's
do anything, we don't need you.
We're not hankering for more Billy Bush in our lives. Like, I know. That's a real void.
Remember, no, like you know... Louis C.K. will come back.
Right.
You know, we miss his voice. You know what I mean? Billy Bush, no one's like, I miss him. Or Matt Lauer. You guys read teleprompters.
Respectfully, we're all replaceable. I remember Jay Leno taking me aside one time back when I had a TV show on NBC in the 70s. Hey, you know, we're all replaceable. You know, you think you're going to have Jay Leno tomorrow? They get another Jay Leno in an hour. You know, you think Tom Cruise? You know, Tom Cruise, they bugging me, whatever, I get out of here. They get another Tom Cruise by next week. And they're all replaceable. That's the thing about it. You know,
let me tell you something, Adam. You know, they could get another Adam Carolla.
They get another Adam Carolla in a week.
I didn't even know that name in 1979.
That's his Joe Blow.
you know, Adam, he's all replaceable.
I love that. All right, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you, Ad? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. It'll be the best thing you do all day. It is Geico Auto Insurance. All right, one more, Gina Graham.
All right. Tyra Banks is back on the cover of Sports Illustrated after being the first African-American model to grace the cover of the annual swimsuit issue.
Can I
back
say,
is she wearing a burqa like that other girl?
Oh, far from it.
Let me say, all right, let me explain what's going on.
Yes.
Max Bada. Yeah. Oh, Gibberish J?
Yeah. Why not?
Dueling J's?
She's a nice girl.
African American.
Yeah, why not? I'm not going to say anything bad publicly. Why would I want to?
She retired the angel wings.
Yeah, she was a very good looking girl back in the time. You know, she's about, you know, she's gained a little bit of weight, but, you know, it's not the weight you have, it's what you do with it. You know what I'm saying? The way you hold it.
Max Bada, at some point, I took a picture of Tyra Banks's thank you to the trainer card. It's a, like a black and white.
You are correct.
I got it somewhere on a computer somewhere. But here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Amy Schumer is an insane narcissist because the whole thing is have a kid, be proud of your kid, do what you want your kid. But then they keep telling, here's the name and here's the thing and here's the thing and here's the thing and here's the thing.
If you have to feel like you make a public announcement for anything, you're a narcissist.
Tyra Banks, I watched, I don't know how, it. Maybe I saw it on Extra or something, but in her show, when she was doing her show, she did an episode of her retiring her angel wings.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, she went out there in all her glory. And they, you know, on fishing string, they went up to the heavens. And I thought...
And the rafters.
I was just like, I don't know. It seems like she... It was her... I don't know if it's her idea for an episode of the Tyra Banks show, but she certainly approved of it and did it. And it was like a big whatever.
That's when you know everyone around you is just collecting a paycheck.
And I remember thinking, well, that's a super weird narcissistic thing to do. And then one time I was at a boxing gym.
Yes.
And I had a trainer named Terry. And Terry had, like, hey, he's got his guys up on the wall. And there's a black and white of Joe Rogan. And it says, Terry, you're the best, you know. And there's, and he wanted me to, like, sign one. Like, hey, Terry, couldn't have done it without you. Or you're the best or whatever it is. And then I saw Tyra Banks's. And Tyra Banks, as one said, Terry, you made me fast. You made me strong. I stung like a butterfly. I stung like a bee and I flow like a butterfly. Can't nobody fuck with me. Like, she turned into a soliloquy about herself, which is, it's a simple test. Here's a black and white. Write something nice about the guy who owns the deli. Not you. Not about the way those sandwiches make you feel. Not the way you look in the dry cleaning, but the actual business itself. And you just write something like, hey, you guys are A, number one in my book, and dude, then you hand it back. Kinda, you don't I do know. 11 you, paragraphs on yourself you and how to, hot you are.
But to be that successful at your own given profession, don't you have to have some insane narcissism? Like Joe Morgan at his house, or he used to at least.
Baseball player.
Baseball. The great Joe Morgan. Unbelievable. He's a guy who scored one time in the World Series from first base on a single. That's how fast and how quick and how smart that guy was. Mm. He has sprinklers.
He had the arm that pumped, too, right?
He was an awesome awesome baseball player for the Reds and also, you know, went on. He played for the Giants, too. But he had the sprinklers and a good announcer, too. He has sprinklers, at least that he had sprinklers, with every one of his records. It was a baseball, you know, shaped sprinklers at his house. You know, like, yeah, we're going to put some sprinklers out in your house. Yeah, okay. What's special about them? Well, then we're just going to put just regular sprinklers. Now, why do we put regular sprinklers? Why don't you get, like, a baseball, iron baseball with all my records on each one of those sprinklers? That way the water can come out, and every time I look out and go, that's my record. That's a record.
Oh, is that John Lennon?
The thing about
oh, I said records. Records.
You said records.
All right, saying, let's my, bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
I got that pic somewhere, Maxwell. Will find
it. Track it down.
One day. I remember taking a picture of the picture.
Dear Sal, your hoagies made me powerful.
She was a spectacular beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Right. She didn't do any of that herself. All right, JB Weld, last but not least, quickly, got your projects around the house. JB Weld Epoxy Adhesives. These guys sponsor the show, and we love them. I have them in the garage. We use them in the studio. We use them everywhere. JBWeld.com. You get it at Home Depot and Lowe's and AutoZone and everywhere else. Rob doing stand-up this Friday and Saturday. Brea Improv. We'll be there. I'll be there the following weekend. So
great new club.
Set them up. I'll knock them down. That is this Friday, this Saturday. And then Boston Wilbur Theater. I've played the Wilbur. It's a beautiful theater.
It's going to be in July, the Wilbur Theater. I love it.
July 13th. TV show Real Rob, Season 2, now available to binge watch on Netflix.
Thank you.
And check out the website, robschneider.com. Always a pleasure, Rob.
Thank you. I'm going to try doing a podcast ourselves. I heard that everyone's getting into it, so I'm going to see what happens. See what happens is what it's called.
All right, where do we find it?
See what at robschneider.com. You'll find all about
go
it.
Go there.
Thank you, brother.
So, until next time, Dan Crow for Rob Schneider and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damaschek and Adam Carolla is coming right up.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Thursday, May 16th in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club, featuring The Pact. There was a list of protocols we created which would let us know our plan needed to be set in motion. A few different chains of events would trigger them, like natural disasters or social unrest. The day's chain of events let us see the unthinkable was about to happen. The phone network going down, the internet network going offline, and the power grid being lost. As we said goodbye to the nanny, I saw what I had feared was coming from the second the internet radio went out. Paratroopers falling from the sky over downtown Los Angeles. And the planes they were jumping from were not ours. Hear me read a chapter from Robert Patrick Lewis's The Pact. Enjoy a signature Mangria cocktail
Enter to win a pair of JBL 104 studio reference monitors. Visit JBLPro.com and hang out with all the literary fans of The Adam Carolla Show. Thursday, May 16th, 10 E, downtown Los Angeles, BoozeAndBookClub.com. Get the pact now on Audible and iTunes.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we're into the heart of May. That means that the NHL playoffs and NBA playoffs are grinding on. And you said on yesterday's Good Sports that you noticed something about one James Harden. Lay it on me.
Well, a couple things. I'm very interested in when things seem very advanced and then there's very antiquated sides or elements of things that are have moved along, and I'll explain. But when you see things like things that would drive me nuts, like I was watching Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard fighting from Caesar's Palace.
Ooh.
Throwback fight. It was on my TV the other week when I was in Vegas. It was just, I happen to be in Vegas.
Awesome.
I happen to have had interviewed Sugar Ray Leonard 2 hours earlier. And when I got back to the hotel room, I interviewed him. I talked to him about that fight, of course. And then when I got back, I turned on fight. It's like ESPN2 throwback night. You know, we're throwing the fight, the entire fight. And they showed it. So it was a little surreal. But somewhere it was an action packed fight. Those guys, you know, Hagler was moving forward the entire 12 rounds. Sugar Ray was throwing punches and bunches. It was an all-action
fight. He just kept countering him and never – it really was – yeah, Sugar Ray kept landing shots, but you could tell, even my novice eye watching boxing, you could see this is not hurting Marvin Hagler in the least.
Right.
Right? I mean, it was like he may as well have been tapping him with a toy hammer. You're not hurting me. Isn't that the point of boxing?
Right. And he was throwing great combos and whatever. It was an all-action fight. But in the 12th round, about a minute in, they had to do that thing where it's like, oh, a little wisp of cotton tape from your glove, Sugar Ray, has come undone. There's a small, basically a tampon string worth of tape hanging, cloth tape, white medical tape from your glove because – they would tape them up with that white medical tape. They would go in the corner and they just get saturated with water. You know, they take the water and they put the sponge on their head and the water would come cascading down their arms and their body. And they'd always, Sugar Ray was holding a lot in that fight. He'd take the glove and he'd put it over the back of Hagler's sweaty, bald head, you know, constantly. Of course, the white, gauzy, clothy tape is going to get saturated with water, and at some point it's going to lose its adhesive. It's going to come loose. Now, it doesn't pose a danger because it's just a little wisp of tape, an inch and a quarter long, that's dog-eared up, but they have to stop the fight. Mm-hmm. Stop. The biggest fight in the world, the greatest all-action fight, hold the phone, middle of the round, stop it, go to the corner. That guy gets more of the same tape. And then that guy goes, I'm going to put this tape on top of the already wet tape. Because you guys, if anyone's ever used tape, you got to wet down the surface first before
that always
the
works.
Tape won't work. I don't care if it's duct tape. I don't care if you're taping off some masking tape and painting. Always wet the surface. Take a wet sponge.
Why not just cut the little piece of tape off for the next minute
or
and a half?
Or you could use duct tape,
okay,
which won't ever do that. Duct tape wouldn't do that. Now, they switched at some point to duct tape.
Is that right?
Duct tape would
not come. I didn't
know
they did that.
Because it won't come loose.
Yeah, like it makes sense.
It won't, you can saturate it. It'll last the fight. But what do? They smooth down the part. Well, first off, depending on whether the guy's winning or losing, they act accordingly. If their guy's losing and needs some air, they take their sweet time. Like, oh, I don't have any extra tape on me. Then they do a move where they like redo it and tear it and pat it down. It's bound to happen again because you're just taking the same tape and put it on top of the same glove, except for this time it's wet. but nope, there's nothing we can do except for we could fix it, but we don't. And then this will happen the next fight and the next fight and the next fight. And it's to the point where the ref, Steele, like you see him in like the 11th round, Sugar Ray's walking out, and Steele's like grabbing his glove and smoothing it out, like, okay, no, let's not let, you know, and he's like, why are we doing this? You should get some, go to Home Depot.
$250 million surrounding this fight. No one can figure out the tape situation.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. So I'm watching after that. So that's, you know, 1988 or 89 or 90 or whatever it is.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Fast forward 20 years. And, God.
I can't believe Sugar Ray's career was, that's exactly right. I'm just thinking about that in my head. That's insane. Sugar Ray seems like he had his last fight about 9 years ago to me. Wow.
Fast forward 30 years. I turn on SportsCenter. It's like, oh, James Harden, he got his cornea scratch. He had an eye injury, whatever. He got scratched in that playoff game, man. That was a blatant foul or whatever. He's sitting, oh, let's get a shot of him. He's on the bench. How's that eye going to be? We got to get an update on James Harden's eye. Sitting on the bench, he's got a white terry cloth towel that someone put ice in, and he's pushing it on his face. We don't have a container for ice. No, you couldn't get the fellas at JPL and get them together with McDonnell Douglas or Rolls Royce or Porsche or something to actually create a container that would hold ice. So you've got a towel. You've got a wet towel on his face. Hey, this guy had his face damaged. Huh. What are we going to do? We got to get ice.
Yes, he is. By the way, he's a $100 million vessel for the result that you seek as the organization's star player. That's what you do to him. Why don't you give him a T-bone to just put on?
Yeah, he could. Well, we could put the ice in his hand. No, it's not going to work. It's going to melt. It's going to roll. Well, we have towels. Okay.
Thank goodness you're here, Seth. Get the towel.
There's 400,000 ways to carry your beer. You know what I mean? They have backpacks. They have coolers. They have wet coolers.
Hats
and dry coolers,
that you can wear the beer in with straws.
The coolers that don't take ice. Coolers that take cooling ice packs. Ones that are soft. Ones that are rigid. Ones with wheels. Ones you can ride. They have the cooler with the motor on. They have 200 million ways to transport beer. But when it comes to $100 million players, we just have a bathroom towel. And we'll put the ice in the towel, and then you can ball it up and hope the ice stays in or soaks through. It just mashed the whole thing on your face. That's what we have. All we have medically for ice.
This is what you could do.
The fuck is going on? What year is it? Hold on. Do you care about this guy's eye? Yes. Would you like ice on it? Yes. Okay, we need to come up with a device. We have a towel. We use the towels for the floor and for mopping guys' heads off. But we could put ice in the towel. Okay. Are we on an island somewhere where fucking Tom Hanks, we have to make do? Well, what did the tide bring in today? Well, brought in some hockey skates. Okay, let's see.
Put that on his eye.
Put ice in it. Can we get a fucking container that holds ice? That then would let the cooling effect of the ice transfer to the outside of the container.
The NBA MVP deserves better than a towel.
I got some Ziploc sandwich bags in my van. We could use that. It's going to take a while. Okay. In a sport where people are constantly getting conked on the head and poked in the eye and their fingers being dislocated, could we have some mechanism, some modality to take ice and apply it to an area other than a terry cloth bathroom towel from a hotel?
This is your thing. You solved the uprights, which again, in Nashville, Tennessee, another fan of yours came up to me and engaged me about the genius of Adam Carolla. It's like, why did that take so long for them to make that adjustment? Adam has been saying that for at least a decade prior. This is your thing. You got to figure out, this is so in your wheelhouse with all the sports you watch and your hyper awareness about these little details. You should just fix all of these things up. You could do them all. You know
what? I can't.
Why?
Because I'm a comedian. And every time I do what I just did, people go, all right. That's good. The ice bit's
then they
a
use
funny,
the idea.
Funny ice bit. You do that funny bit.
Do you know what?
Ice.
You know what, though? Adam, you know, I mean, he's kidding, but he actually makes a good point. We should do that. So therefore, you get no credit for it. It's like, It was a real point. It was maybe amuse you because it was true, but it was dead on.
I'm going to write a fucking book called I'm Not Kidding About Anything, ever. You may be laughing, but I'm not kidding.
That's a good idea.
Find a picture of Harden with that towel on his face, a balled up towel. It's like, what year is it? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, he's got a better thing, a better option somewhere hidden away in that beard, which, by the way, bothers me, too. As a side note, it's like, all right, get rid of the beard. Isn't that you always talk, Ace, about, you know, if guys want to smoke weed and then go play, because D'Angelo Russell of the NBA just got busted trying to tote weed through the airport, and he put it inside an iced tea bottle. It's like, well, that's the one place they're going to look for it, man, is in your liquid bottle. He put weed inside a nice tea bottle, and then they caught him for that. Anyway, you always say, if they want to smoke weed, they're really they're not enhancing. They're creating a detriment for themselves. Doesn't that big beard, at some point, I know from a marketing standpoint, it probably distinguishes you, but don't you get extra hot and sweaty and therefore run out of gas a little more quickly than you might if you weren't running around looking like that with that giant beard on you?
I don't know, but back to Sugar Ray Hagler, they wouldn't let you box with that beard.
Oh, that's a great point. That I suppose
it's creating it's a like cushion. A pad for your chin.
Well, then then we can't have that.
Can't have it.
All right. Hey, tell us. There we go. There it is.
Oh no, that's the one towel. That's the other towel. The white towel's the one he had on his. That's him dabbing
it. That one's not coming up as easily. So we'll keep looking.
No, it was on SportsCenter.
That's the best. At least they got through it in the 80s. Remember when it'd be frozen on the AstroTurf in football games? They would wear basketball high tops. They're like, "Yep, that's all we have. We don't. You know what? We'll wear something out. Well, we don't have anything. We're just going to wear basketball shoes."
They invented AstroTurf like 3.5 years before they invented turf shoes.
That's exactly right.
And that it's always funny to me that they did that and nobody knew what to wear.
You go back and watch Super Bowls. It's distracting to me. Tony Eason and all the Bears that they were playing in 85, they're all wearing high tops from basketball, from like Adidas high tie. Very strange to look at.
All right, let me tell you about. Oh, there he is. There he is with the towel and the ice in the towel. I don't know. Look, maybe you can't do better than ice in a towel, but let's try. Let's look like we know what we're doing. You know what I'm saying?
on a team for one of the greatest achievements in man's recorded history, the team is named Rockets because of NASA being there.
This is the
but
opposite.
In NASA. NASA has everything. They figured out everything, but they can't figure out where a good thing to hold your ice in.
The great Nazi rocket scientist, Werner Braun Vaughn, or whatever his name was, would be rolling over in his grave if he could see this. You would have devastated the man. I know he's a Nazi war criminal. Maybe he deserves to be devastated, but he would still be devastated. Werner Von Braun? Yeah, that's him.
Werner von Braun.
Nazi rocket
Didn't
scientist.
Sound more Nazi-ish if you tried, I don't think.
Yeah.
Werner von Braun.
Wasn't he the Commandant Hogan's Heroes? All right, let me tell you about Yahoo Daily Fantasy. Best time of the year to be a sports fan. NBA, NHL playoffs are underway. MLB, PGA season is picking up. I'm boycotting PGA until those guys put on a few pounds.
I'm with you.
I'm tired of like, oh, Mr. Fitness over here with his tight slacks and his lats. I'm done.
Yeah.
I want a mustache.
You wanted to be heralded for your physique. You should have been a tight end and been drafted.
Right.
You don't get to play golf now.
No. I want a beer gut and a cigarette on you guys. All right. You want to get closer to the action? Yahoo Daily Fantasies for you. Offer a single day and week-long contest so you can pick a new team every day. Don't play with the other sites that charge you high fees just to play. Yahoo's lower fees mean more prizes for you to win. So you can go to yahoo.com/dailyfantasy, find a contest that's right for you. Try 50-50 contests where the top half of the field wins. And if you use the promo code POD25, you get $25 in free play when you make your first deposit. So let's get playing. Yahoo.com/dailyfantasy and use the code POD25.
Thus ends another terrific week of hot sports talk, the only remedy for the heat that we created. ice in a towel. Go put it on your brain, and we'll be back ready to spin more hot sports takes for you next week. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook there, too. You can leave us a voicemail, questions and comments at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Carolla Classics. Hosted by Chris Loxamana and Superfan Giovanni. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Man Agree events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for Bands in the Sand. Oops. And stay tuned for AP News. By the way, Bands in the Sand, June 1st. That was on my mind. Whew. Stay close, AP News.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.